Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
Good morning. It's good to be together. And as you saw in the video, you know, we are recognizing this is, we are now in the season of Lent, as Easter is not far from us. We're roughly 40 days out from that time. The trees are blooming, the daffodils have all popped up, and signs of spring are all around us, and that third version of winter is going to hit us at some point. We know, those of us that have been in Oregon long enough know not to trust the weather, amen, but it is getting to be that season, and as we prepare for the upcoming Easter, as we remember the resurrection, and an exciting time. And so with that, we have a new series. We wrapped up our series last week, and we have a new series here with talking about the stranger. We're titling it Hidden, and the Stranger Among Us. And so we get that title screen. There it is. It's going to be a journey in this series as we go through this. One of the great things in life is when you forget your clicker and your wife bails you out. Thank you. I thought that would be easier than throw a curveball at the tech guys and make them try to do the slides on their own without any preparation. All right, there we go. Now I'm good to go. In the overall arching story of the Bible, as you read it and go from Genesis through Revelation, and it's this large story from the Bible, from creation to Revelation, and there are many different themes within that overarching story that you will encounter. And one of those themes is that of the stranger. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this. Now, sometimes the word for stranger, when you encounter it in Scripture, that you'll see that it's sometimes translated as alien or foreigner or temporary resident or a traveler or a sojourner. And all of these titles have in mind the idea of someone who is not from the place where they are living, somebody who is outside of the community, somebody who is new, that is unknown in this. The theme is first picked up when we read about God's calling of Abraham, and God saying that he's going to make a nation of Abraham. And before he does any of that, what does God do with Abraham? He calls him out of the land where his family is and calls him to be a sojourner or a traveler in a new and unfamiliar land where God says he's going to establish him as a nation, a land of promise. But he is a stranger in that land. And then from there, the people that are descended from Abraham, the Israelites, spend 400 years in Egypt as foreigners, as strangers, and as slaves in the land of Egypt. All the way to, we see it in Jesus' life, and we'll notice this later in the sermon, that he came as a stranger to his own creation. So there's something special about this theme, this idea of what does it mean to be a stranger, and what does that look like in Scripture, and what is the Bible talking about when we encounter that in there? And it's one of those special, specific groups of people that when you read about it in the Scripture, you discover that they are close to the heart of God. In Deuteronomy 10, verses 18 and 19, we're told this about God. It says that he administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. There's these groups of people that are mentioned in here, right? The orphan or the fatherless, the widow, and the stranger. And time again, as you read through the Old Testament, you will find that these particular groups of people are very near to the heart of God. And so during Lent, this is going to be our series. We're going to explore this theme, consider what does it mean to be a stranger. We're going to talk about how do we notice the stranger among us. How do we welcome the stranger? How are we to include the stranger? And most importantly, how are we to love the stranger? So today we start with being the stranger. And so what does it mean when we use this phrase, stranger? What are we talking about? And what does it mean for us to be the stranger? Now, of course, it carries the meaning of, well, somebody that you don't know yet, right? Stranger danger. We teach our kids stranger danger, right? It's somebody that you have not met yet. You don't know them. You don't know anything about them. But in the Bible, it can mean so much more than that when we encounter it. As you mentioned, all those other words that are synonyms for stranger. So it can mean a foreigner or someone who is coming from the outside. And so in general, it has this meaning of somebody who is outside of the community, the established community, somebody who is outside of that looking in. Now, most likely, you've experienced the feelings of being a stranger. Now, it might have been some time if you've been in the same place for a long time. But you probably experienced it at some point. First day of school, first day at work, right? Maybe new in a neighborhood. Maybe you moved and you were new in a neighborhood. You didn't know anybody. Or maybe one time when you were a visitor at church. Some of you have been here long enough, you don't remember what it is to be a visitor at church. All of these experiences fit under what does it mean to be a stranger. A stranger is a person who, in regard to the place they're at, is a person without position, a person without power. They're new to the community. They come in from the outside of the community. And there's no position and there's no power for them because in the terms of, especially in the biblical sense of community and where strength and safety is, that's where it comes from. You need people around you. You need community to have strength and to have safety, right? We feel safe when we are with others who know us, that we are like them, right? In our modern world, we've lost a little bit of this, but when we think back to more times where maybe we were more living in villages and dependent upon one another, you can imagine those times where the community is the source of strength and safety. And so the stranger is one of those people who are vulnerable and dependent upon others when we look at it from that standpoint. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's one of those groups that is close to the heart of God. Now, what's difficult about it as a church to discuss what does it mean to be a stranger is that once we are established in a community, we now become safe and secure within that community. We know our position. We know the people that we are around, and we feel comfortable in that, and we begin to forget that experience of being a stranger, feeling vulnerable when we walk in somewhere. Now, yes, you might feel it here and there, but for some of you, it has been some time since you've experienced that. And once we are established, our default is to begin to protect the community that we are part of, right? So that others feel that safety and stuff. And so we protect the community from the unknown strangers, from those who are on the outside. And yet, even though that's our tendency, God calls us in a different way in the posture that we should have towards the stranger. And to remember that we too were once strangers. So today, our goal in this is to remember what it is like to be the stranger. So we're going to look at three different things in Scripture. And so before we get into those three different areas, let's just pause and pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity today to be gathered, to be among each other, Lord. And some of us have been together for very long, some for decades, and some have been here only a short time, and some, this is their first time in this community. And so, Lord, as we think about what does it mean to be a stranger, God, some of us, we need you to work on us more in reminding us, and others, we need your comfort because we still are not sure if we are comfortable yet. So God, we just ask that you'd meet each one of us in a special and unique way, and deepen our understanding of what does it mean to be the stranger. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is we're going to see that Jesus himself came as a stranger. I mentioned that earlier. And we see this in the Gospel of John. As John talks to us about and describing to us in John chapter 1, the coming of Jesus. And so in verse 10 and in verse 26 in particular, we see these two passages. John tells us in verse 10, says that he, meaning Jesus, referring to Jesus, was in the world and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. How amazing that is, how mind-boggling that is to think about that the one who created the world came and yet the world did not really recognize him as such. And then John put it this way, John the Baptist put it this way later in chapter 1, where he declares that he is baptizing with water there in verse 26. But he says, someone stands among you and you don't know him. And then he goes on to describe some more things about Jesus' coming ministry. But that little phrase, you don't know him, in talking about how they just did not recognize Jesus. Now, Jesus as a person was known in the community as the son of a carpenter, right? He was Joseph and Mary's son, grew up in Nazareth. He would have gone by the name Yeshua ben Yosef in Hebrew. And that's who they knew him, Jesus, son of Joseph. And he was known as that, nothing more and nothing less. That is until the baptism of John and that beginning point of his ministry. And Jesus began to be revealed to others as more than just the carpenter's son. That is, as the Messiah. But he came as a stranger in regard to his messianic identity. Have you ever had that experience where you've been maybe in a group for a while even, and you look around and maybe you have that experience here, where it's like, yeah, people know me in the sense that they know my name, they know who I am, but does anybody really know me? Right? And I think that's kind of what Jesus' experience was. They knew him as a person. Yeah, this is Jesus, son of Joseph. He's the carpenter's son from Nazareth. We know this guy, right? And yet, did they really know him? Did they really understand who he was in the full sense of who he was? And it doesn't appear that he was known in that way. So in that sense, in regard to his messianic identity, he was a stranger. Now, what do we mean when we use the word Messiah? Let's talk about that just a moment here. The Messiah means the anointed one, the ruler, the king. In Hebrew, it's the HaMashiach. That's the same title that was given to David and to Saul and to Solomon, the great kings of Israel, the anointed one. It's a title of authority. But of course, kings are born in palaces. And not to revisit the whole birth narrative of Jesus, but we know that his birth was rather peculiar for one who is to be a king, being born amongst the animals in a stable, if you will. It was only to a handful of people that Jesus was known to be any more than a carpenter's son. And he was raised in obscurity. He was indeed a stranger among his own creation. He didn't come in a position of power or authority. He came in weakness and vulnerability in order to identify with our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities. The author of Hebrews talks about this, how he identifies with us. In Hebrews chapter 4, we read these words. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest, that is Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we see here an understanding how Jesus came to us. He came as a stranger so that he would know what it is for us to be in that position of stranger, to be in a position of weakness and vulnerability, not in a position of strength. It's a very vulnerable feeling to be the stranger and to know that you are not necessarily part of yet that community that you want to be a part of. And Jesus knows what that experience is. He identifies with that, and he knows where you're coming from. Now, not just did he come as a stranger, but he called us as strangers. He called us as strangers. See, before any of us knew Jesus as Lord and Savior, as Gary said, welcome fellow Christ followers, before any of us could identify ourselves as Christ followers, we were known as strangers to God and strangers to the covenants of God. Paul talks about this in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 12. Paul writes these words to the Ephesians. He says, remember that you were at that time, referring to before their salvation, before they trusted Christ, that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. See, being outside of the community is this position of being a stranger. And so before you trust in Christ, this is where you are. You are outside of the family of God. You are outside of the community of faith. This is where all of us were at one point in time. And some of you, it's been longer than others since you were in that position. Some of you, maybe it's not been that long. And some of you, maybe you're on the outside looking in and wondering if that is the family and community that you want to jump in with and be with Jesus in that. The reality is, though, is that Jesus calls all of us out of that position of being a stranger and into the family of God. That invitation is there if you've yet to receive that invitation. But that's what he is inviting us into, is to no longer be the stranger, but come into the family. Later in chapter 2, in verse 19, we read this. He says, so then you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. Now, he wrote these words to the church in Ephesus, to the Ephesians, but these words are powerful for us as well through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're no longer foreigners and strangers, but we are now fellow citizens. See, we come from the position of being a stranger. God calls us out of that, and he says, I have this wonderful, beautiful family and community that I want to give to you and include you in if you would only receive the free gift of salvation through my son, Jesus. You can come into this and no longer be a stranger and an alien. And so those who are trusting in Jesus then are no longer strangers, but are citizens and members of God's family. And that's that wonderful invitation. This is why we believe that the process of church membership is so important here at Salt Creek Church. We want to be able to know and celebrate and encourage your faith in Jesus as part of God's family. And the first step towards that is church membership. When you begin to find a community that you want to identify with. Because in that church membership process, you get to share your story of coming to faith in Jesus. And we get to affirm that story. And we get to say, yes, we hear your testimony. And we say, yes, amen and amen. God has saved you. He has rescued you. He has put you into his family. And you get to be a part of this particular gathering of his family. It is the practical part of this process of moving from being a stranger to being in the family. So God does the spiritual work in that. But from the practical side, through church membership, we get to identify with a local gathering of his family. So the faith in Jesus puts us into the family, and church membership is where that family status gets recognized amongst God's people. But what we have to remember in this, and what Paul's point in chapter 2 of Ephesians, is that we all start from that position of being a stranger. And we come into the family so that we are no longer strangers. But, as he said, don't forget, he tells them. Remember that you too once were strangers in this. So not only does Jesus come as a stranger, call us from the position of being stranger into family and into relationship, he also comes to us among strangers. Among strangers. He identifies with what Matthew says is the least of these. Gary read this passage for us earlier. I want to look again at the last few verses of Matthew 25 there, verses 37 to 40. And let's look at those again. It says, "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" We see here Jesus identifying with the least of these. David Fitch, in his wonderful book, Faithful Presence, about how the church can have a faithful presence in its community. This is what he said on how Christ is present in this space. What does it look like? This passage in 25, chapter 25 here that we just read, what does that look like in practical terms? And here he says, the early church understood the space between the disciple of Christ and the poor to be sacred. In being present to the poor, Christ himself would be specially present. As the early Christians practiced being with the poor, a space would open up. Christ would become present, and they would pray for the sick, anointing them with oil. Miracles of healing would take place. Lives were changed and restored in this space. Being with the poor spread Christianity like wildfire to every town and village. Now, Fitch, in that chapter that this is talking specifically about the church's posture towards the poor among us. But the principle comes out of chapter 25, of Matthew 25, that we just read. And so there are different groups of people in there. And one of those is the stranger. So there's the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, and the stranger that are listed in there. So the principle applies to all of those. So the same thing is true if, when we are ministering to those, like with our clothing ministry, when we are out and we're ministering, giving away clothing to those who are in need, that there is space that opens up. Meaning there is a vulnerability that happens in that when somebody is in need. And our team, our volunteers, and that can attest to that. They've had opportunities to pray with people and to come alongside just because we're offering them clothing. But Christ is present in that space, is what the early church believed. And his presence is very real there. And I believe when we're doing that ministry that we experience that and feel that in that moment. But the same must be true as well to the stranger, because he says all of these are considered the least of these. They are the vulnerable. They are the people without positions of power in the community because they have nothing to offer. They're coming in from the outside. And so in the same way that there's space that opens up for Christ to be present when we minister to the poor, it's the same thing to the stranger, to the one who is coming from outside of our community. Whether that person is coming as a stranger because they are coming as possibly an immigrant or somebody who has moved, someone who is just not known to the community, any of those, they're coming in as a stranger. They're all vulnerable persons in society. And so when we minister to them, when we are with them, Christ is present in that space with us, is what chapter Matthew 25 tells us. So as we think about today, what we're talking about as we kick this off, we all know on some level what it is to be the stranger. We've all had that experience. To some, in fact, some of you today, I know, are experiencing that. Some of those emotions of being a stranger today, because you took a chance visiting our church, or maybe it's your second or third time, and it still feels a little strange, a little odd. We're kind of peculiar. We're kind of some strange people. I mean, at least Carl is, but I love you, brother. But it's up to us as the family of God to not forget what this experience of being the stranger is like. We are the ones who are the community here representing God's people in this space. And so we have to not forget what it is like to be the stranger. And we need to reach out to those who are strangers. So we think of the immigrants, those who are in poverty, the lonely, the powerless, the prisoner, all of these people groups who are vulnerable and close to the heart of God are included in this idea of the stranger. And so as the family of God, it is our task to remember what it's like to be the stranger, to reach out to those in that position. And so as the local church here at Salt Creek, as an expression of the family of God, it's up to us to make space for the stranger. I get it. It's hard. It's difficult at times because we come together for our large gathering here on Sunday morning once a week. And there's people you haven't seen for an entire week. And maybe they missed a Sunday. You haven't seen them for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And you want to catch up. But in this gathering, we must make space for someone who is new to us. Someone maybe who is new to the whole community. We must make space for this idea that Scripture gives us of who the stranger is. Because you once were in that position. And we need to not forget what that position is like and how vulnerable that can feel. And so it's up to us to be open to receiving others in the name of Jesus. Because He came as a stranger. And He called us out of being strangers. And He meets us in that space where we are open to receiving strangers and practicing hospitality, whether it's in our homes, our neighborhoods, within our church, wherever it might be. He's calling us to have that posture towards those. And so in this series, we're going to go from this, we're going to talk about noticing, welcoming, including, and loving the stranger as well. We're going to challenge ourselves to do this well in all aspects of our lives, to all people that God would bring into our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to be gathered as the community of Christ in this space. But Lord, as Christ opened up space for the stranger, the foreigner, the alien, the poor, the sick, the needy, as Christ opened up space for them in His life, may we as the body of Christ open up space for those who are vulnerable among us in our lives, in the life of our church, God. Help us to do this well. Help us to be aware of these things and to grow in our understanding of it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.